Welcome to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner Tom Meglia.
How are you today? It's Tom Meglia, financial planner, financial counselor, and estate planner and business consultant, all-around financial coach, your financial advisor with the face for radio. Tom Meglia here. How you doing? Hope you're having a great day, and welcome to Knowing the Economy of God. That awesome music is by Bonnie Moore. She's the harpist, and I love the praise music that Bonnie plays. You can hear more from Bonnie on her website, bonnieharpsong.com, www.bonnieharpsong.com. You know, you pull up her website, you can hear her music while you're pulling up her website and looking over what she does and maybe ordering a tape. Anyway, thank you, Bonnie, for letting us use that music. It's great. Really ministers, no question. Anyway, I'm Tom Meglia, financial planner. And again, welcome to Knowing the Economy of God, a program based on biblical principles to wise money management, sound financial principles, and understanding that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior and Lord of all financial parts of our life. Everything we do under His Lordship through the Bible, the Scriptures and the Word. And basically what I've done is gone through Genesis all the way to Revelation, 66 books in the Bible, pulling out all the economic principles that I could find on God's economy. What is God's economy? God's economy is a system of writings and teachings, beliefs and understandings. In short, God's thinking. The thinking of God in an economic sense. The biblical basis and Bible economics, all from Scripture, because we believe the Scripture is true. In fact, I've got a great verse to start us off, 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And, you know, that is such a great verse. It really is. And the purpose of the program is really to go against two worldly principles. Number one, the world thinks, well, let's keep God out of everything. Number two, our ego is supreme and we should rule. You know, that's what the world thinks. The world says, keep God out of it. We're God. And our ego rules. Our ego rules. We rule, not some fictitious God. And I believe, that our ego does not rule, that Jesus Christ is Lord and I'm not and you're not. Okay? And I want God in everything. There's nothing I don't want God in. And in His economy, I want to do things His way. So the key is understanding what are God's ways and how to apply them to my normal and everyday life. That's what the book is about too, that's coming out in April from ACW Press. The book, Knowing the Economy of God, is about everything we're teaching on this show, on this program. And if you go to the website, you can learn more. And you can listen to past programs. www.theeconomyofgod.com. Theeconomyofgod.com. www.theeconomyofgod.com. You can check out what I do, some past programs, email me, get a hold of me, whatever you need to do to start a financial plan. And my phone number, 800-386-3700. Now, the program is based on Scripture. So the recipe for understanding the economic principles in the Bible as we locate them is as follows. Number one, we cite the Scripture or identify the Scripture. Number two, state or explain just what is the economic principle that comes from that particular Scripture or passage. Number three, how do you apply this for today? You know, so many people think, Tom, it doesn't work for today. It doesn't apply for today. It doesn't even matter for today. Well, that's a huge error. In fact, that's what Satan wants you to do. He wants you to think the Bible doesn't apply for today. The Bible applies for today. It's the tools, the gold mine for today's living. So that was the third part of the recipe. How do we apply those economic principles in the Word and the Scriptures for today's living. And fourth, the prayer of change. The prayer of change, asking God to change me, change my heart, change you and your heart to conform to what He wants us to do. So that's the recipe. And the four anchors that I call them in God's Word, in God's economy, that everything is based on, all of Bible economics, are number one, God is the owner. Number two, we're just the steward or manager. Number three, we must give cheerfully and regularly and consistently of our talents, time, and treasures. And fourth, we as Christians are to learn to become content. Content. That's a goal we must have in Christianity, to apply and learn God's economy properly. This is what we do. And my job is to help you do all these things in your personal, financial, and estate and business plan. Okay, so let's get started. As we talk about God's economy, the concept we talked about last week comes from 2 Kings. So let's read 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7. That's today's economic principle based on that scripture. 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a little oil." Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." She left him and afterward shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There's not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil. Sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." How about that? Anybody up for a miracle? You'll find it in 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7. Awesome passage with several economic principles in that passage that we're going to learn from today and learn how to apply them in our normal and everyday life. Isn't that something? Isn't that cool? And then we'll have the prayer of change later on in the program, asking God to change us to conform to His economic principle. And this principle is about trusting God, about Him being our sustainer. And we'll talk about that, okay? Let's get right into that. It's so important. And I think it's exciting, too. Now, before we come up to the break, let's talk about the principle, okay? And the economic principle is this. God, our Father, since we're Christians, He's our Heavenly Father. He's our sustainer and our provider. He looks after us. Okay, He's the eagle, we're the younglings and whatever, and He looks after us. He's our Heavenly Father, and He cares for us. Yes, even you, even me, even everybody, especially those that call God Lord and their Heavenly Father. And basically, this is a story about a widow with great faith. And her husband, who died, was a Christian. He had great faith in God. He was part of the company that served Elisha and revered the Lord. So God's promise to him and covenant to him, as well as his wife, was to look after them and take after them and protect them and watch over them. So that's kind of an interesting sideline. But again, the story is about God, really, and the fact that He listens and cares for this widow. All throughout the Scriptures, by the way, God says He cares for the poor, the oppressed, the downtrodden, the widows, the orphans. That's His target market. He cares about them. He really does. Just like He does you and I. She lost her husband, but not his debts. He had debts. And the sons were put up as collateral or pledged for payment of those debts. And in the ancient times, if you didn't pay your debts, they could have taken your kids as slaves. And that was what was going to happen. Isn't that something? Can you imagine? Then she would have lost not only her husband, but her two sons, all because of what happened that her husband passed away. So she would have lost three loved ones had God not intervened and used Elisha to help her. Interesting. Okay, basically, let's talk further here. Let's talk about usury real quick. That's an evil practice. That's another economic principle. Usury is exorbitant interest rates, loan sharking, illegal and dishonest payments or receiving payments on debts that one can't do, putting them in a slave position. That's basically what usury is. It's another evil, sinful economic practice that God frowned on. Now, we're coming up to the break, so after the break, we'll talk further about the economic principles and move forward, and I'll interject a story or two about people I've been working with. Okay, so we'll catch up with you in a few moments.
Tom will be right back with more insights into knowing the economy of God.
Hi, this is Dave Dino. There's an old saying, fail to plan, plan to fail. Do you know that most people fail to reach their financial goals simply because they never made them? Or they don't have a solid plan? Now, why is that? Well, because very few people really know how to. You see, most of us get our advice from a friend or a family member or maybe a coworker at the office. We have no formal plan or map to guide us along the way to our financial dreams. We usually have no one to coach us or give us solid advice because most of us don't know where to find a qualified financial advisor that respects our Christian beliefs, one who honors the Bible, takes financial advice and counsel directly from Scripture, and then applies it to our personal financial situation. Well, for over 28 years, Tom Meglia has been helping Christians formulate solid financial plans that work towards achieving their financial goals. Whether you're just getting started or concerned about your current plan, call Tom at 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700. Tom Meglia, financial coach and planner, to honor God by being a good steward along with reaching your financial goals. Now that's a solid financial plan. Again, call 800-386-3700. That phone number to call is 800-386-3700. Or log on to Tom's website at theeconomyofgod.com. That's theeconomyofgod.com. Or, if you'd like more information about how you can have Tom come and share knowing the economy of God with your group, your Sunday school class, or hosting a workshop at your church, call 800-386-3700. That's Tom Meglia at 800-386-3700. 800-386-3700. Call him.
Now back to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner and coach Tom Meglia.
Welcome back to the other side of the break. Now, we were talking about usury. Okay, that's an evil, sinful practice. The Bible frowned on it, went against it. The usurer was the person behind the lending of things at exorbitant rates. And this, of course, always was at the expense of the poor or unfortunate who had no other choice or alternative but to borrow just to survive. Then they put up things that they couldn't do, hoping that they would somehow be able to meet the liability. And in this case, the two boys, the children, were put up as collateral. And if these debts weren't paid, they were going to go into slavery. And God is totally against that. The Old Testament speaks disapprovingly of this kind of practice for obvious reasons. Many people, though, at the time had no choice but to accept terms from the creditors that put the entire advantage on the loan shark. And God doesn't approve of this so-called economic happening or market practice. God doesn't want that. He doesn't like the poor being taken advantage of. Not in his economy. No way. But as we understand further the adventure, as we talk about it, this miracle, God rescues his followers, his children, and provides for their needs. Haven't you ever had a time in your life where you knew you were in trouble and God rescued you? He sustained you. And you knew clearly There's no way in your or my abilities we could have bailed ourselves out of those messes. That's how great our God is. That's how much he loves us. The widow's faith was an example here, though. She did what Elisha asked her and told her to do. She got the jars. They poured the oil. They only had a tiny little bit. It could fit in inside your palm. That's all the oil they had. She kept pouring into the jars. So did her sons. It kept flowing. She did what she was told to do. It was a miracle, all behind closed doors. Then they sold that oil, paid their debts like Elisha told them to do. And, you know, in those days, there were just two social classes. I call them the haves and the have-nots, the upper class and the lower class, so to speak, the haves and have-nots. So if you weren't a have, you were a have-not. Either you had it or you didn't. There was nothing in between, no middle class in those days. And I think, too, what's interesting is that the widow took action. She didn't complain. She didn't curse God. She didn't get mad at God. She took action. She did something. She sought advice, which Proverbs talks about seeking wise counsel. Well, she went to Elisha, God's servant, God's prophet. Smart move. You know, what she didn't do, she didn't run off, abandon her kids, get mad at God. She didn't do any of that. What a great lady. But she did want to protect her sons from the creditor, the usurer, the loan shark, whom she knew had ill motive and wanted to turn them into slaves. Now, in life application, we need to learn from this, okay? I know of a lady. I talked about a lady last week. That's not her real name, Leanne, but I talked about her last week. And I'll use some person's name of someone I've been working with, but I won't use their real name. I'll call him Jim. And he was in a situation like this. And he was in trouble. He'd been through a horrible divorce, lost his job, was on the East Coast. He thought it was over. He was thinking suicide. He didn't want to live. Have you ever thought about suicide because your financial problems were killing you or smothering you? That's what he thought. And I talked to him. I got referred to him. We talked. We met. Long story short, because of God, he's still around. And it's a good thing. His kids like him. He didn't think they did, but they do. They like him. They love him. He got another job. He's been paying back some of his debts and liabilities. Is he out of the mess completely? No. But he's trying. He's on a budget. He's working. And what really kept him from committing suicide was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in him said, don't give up. Don't quit. It isn't over. Your life is changing. It's been a horrible situation with a marriage that got all messed up, divorce. He just didn't want to go on. He said he needed a miracle, and we prayed. And the miracle God chose to give him was hope. Not to quit, that God could meet his needs and sustain him, and he did. Praise God. So in the story of 2 Kings, God met the widow's needs and gave her extra to live on, a blessing and provision to live on. Isn't that awesome? But in these kind of scary times, we have to lean on God. We have to seek God, pray to God, seek him out. Not by our strength, our control, or even advisors like me. We got to go directly to God. And that's what the widow did. She went to God. She was trusting God. He provided Elisha the servant. And this is what we need to do. Okay? Things get difficult. Things get tough, but we have to take action steps. We need to move forward. We need to try. That's very, very important. And without tough circumstances, many times we wouldn't even learn a lesson that refines our faith and builds us up in Christ. Suffering and scary times, friends, builds us towards God. If we want to go that way, we don't have to. We could go the other way. We're going to go one way or another, aren't we? We're going to either turn to God or turn away from him through ignoring him or getting busy or finding something else to do. You know what I mean? So this is what people do. And I think that, you know, this lady praised God. I think the sons built their faith up watching this oil pour. Can you imagine the miracle those two boys saw? Unbelievable. Which, I mean, believable. Anyway, it was great. She was blessed. She got help. She needed it. She wanted it. And it worked. Have you ever thought to yourself, gee, God, You know, when I pray, I'm not getting the right answer. I want money. Money's the answer. A better job. That's the answer. But you know what? Sometimes God says, no, the right answer for you right now is for me just to sustain you, to build your hope in me, meaning God, not to give you money or something tangible. God in his economy will decide, but he does care about you. He cares about the poor, the people in trouble. Oh, he cares. He cares big, big, big time. His goal, though, is for us to grow through Jesus Christ and that personal relationship. That's what his goal is. Okay? God always answers prayer, but maybe not the way we think he ought to answer it. So when people say, well, God answered prayer, he gave me this. Well, God answers prayer even if he doesn't give you something. That's his answer. No. I have kids. I say no sometimes. That's my answer. That doesn't mean I didn't answer the request. Just means I answered it in a different way than my child wanted it to be. God the Father knows best, not us. Okay, but let's get godly advice. Let's go to the Lord. Now let's have a prayer of change. How about that? You ready for that? The prayer of change. Ready? Let's pray. Lord, like the widow in 2 Kings, help me to seek you out, Lord, in times of trouble. Help me to pray for those that might intend harm for me, my enemies, like usurers, loan sharks, people like that, the kind that take advantage of me in a dire situation. Let me pray for them, Lord. Lord, advise me and counsel me. Help me to listen to you without complaint. Help me, God, to follow your economic principles and change the way I live and the things I do from now on. Only you, Lord, know the truth. And in my journey, help me to see and do what you teach from the Bible, not from any other source like newspapers, magazines, financial periodicals, any of that. Or from people, Lord, that don't know you and trust in you. Help me to stay away from those advisors. Lord, help me to manage your resources with wisdom that can only come from you. Help me to follow your economy, Father God, the way you set it up in your systems by your thinking, not any country systems or society or any man. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, when the book comes out in April, let's get to work. Let's sit down even before then. Give me a call, 800-386-3700. That's 1-800-386-3700. It's Tom Meglia, financial planner. And what do? I help people. Business consulting, financial planning, estate planning, creating a financial situation or game plan that has godly goals, godly intent within his economic systems and principles. And then we'll talk about the smartest ways to implement it, the technical ways, all the ways to get your financial house in order and to put things in the right game plan, the right method, the right system. Again, for whose glory though? Whose glory? Yours, mine? Nope. God's glory. Okay? And the Bible is our gold mine. It's got the word. It's got the economy. We need to know it, understand it, follow it, and abide in it. That's what we need to do. Not pick up some financial periodical that is not about the word, the Bible, and follow that advice. Let's make our choice. Again, give me a call. Tom Meglia, 800-386-3700. And again, the website is theeconomyofgod.com. Thank you. God bless. We'll talk to you soon every Saturday, 3:30 to 4. Tell your friends. And next week, we have a great program coming up about church capital campaigns and things like that. Okay, talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner Tom Meglia. Tom's desire is to teach God's people how to be good stewards, coaching them in the biblical principles of investing. If you would like to contact Tom with a financial question or have Tom speak at your church or group, call 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700 or online at theeconomyofgod.com. Join us next week as Tom Meglia continues to share his insights to knowing the economy of God. Thank you.